Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Janet Hale. Janet's the Undersecretary for Management in the Department of Homeland Security. And joining us in our conversation is Ann Altman. Well, Janet, in the last segment, you talked about what was going on at the department in the area of human capital. That the department had brought a great deal of employees over, and they also had some flexibility in dealing with the HR system. You described how you have studied and you've convened people and you're getting ready to sort of work this through. I'm curious, from a strategic perspective, you could sort of outline sort of how it's being thought about and maybe some sort of sense of sort of what the road forward will look like, knowing that it's still kind of underway.
I think that it is tremendously important, as we talked a little bit about. We will need to make the final decisions. We will go through the normal government process of proposing a notice of proposed rulemaking. We will take comment. But what we have tried to do all through this process is be sure that we are communicating both with our employees and our stakeholders, because one of the things we are tremendously concerned about, and I keep mentioning it, is obviously in any organization with the kind of change our employees are going through, we want to be sure we're continuing to talk to them, understanding, discussing with them the issues, and being sure that if we make changes, which I think we will, that they understand why and how it impacts them. So strategically, as we move forward, we want to be sure that we are implementing what we call the 21st century pay system, the 21st century rules with our labor relations and how we deal with grievances. And but we need, again, because of the mission of this department, we need the flexibilities that Congress in its wisdom gave us, and we need to be sure that we're continuing to involve our employees, discuss with them, and be sure that as they move forward, they understand not only why, but we listen to them about how to do it.
Are other agencies talking to you? I seem to think that many people are watching what kind of plays out to probably learn from in lots of different ways.
You know that the Department of Defense has got legislation pending, and they are, so obviously both defense and DHS are the two front runners. There have been many people that have talked about this. Is this a model? I'd be proud to have anybody use the model we've used with involvement of everybody, because I think it will be a better product. So what we ultimately decide as the leadership and the secretary and the director of OPM make about sort of what is the 21st century personnel rules, I think will be models for others to use. And I hope that they use the model of inclusion as we have done, because I think it will make the decisions better as we go forward to implement it, because change, you've heard me say a couple times, is not easy. And the pay and personnel rules have been around for a long time. Our federal employees are very comfortable knowing those. And so we'll have to be sure that they understand why we want, if we choose to move to a pay-for-performance system, for example, how do you measure it? How do you deal with it? What kind of trust and relationship do they have with the employees to the managers? How will we hold our managers accountable for this? Huge implementation issues. Again, being sure that we get the flexibilities, we implement the right system, and be sure that we maintain the security at the front lines of our borders. So, strategically, great plans with communications and involvement throughout all of them.
Janet, you have many challenges that you're facing, and many of those will be addressed in part with information technology. So I'd like to know a little bit about how you're dealing with information technology. What do you have for plans to integrate your legacy systems in support of the new department, and how might that play to e-government?
Sure. I break it up into three, four, or five segments each time I talk about this. But the first one, I think, is being sure that our systems talk to each other. We have email. We're excited that we can talk to our employees. And you asked before about one of our early successes. I think actually being able to talk to our 180,000 employees, those that are hooked up, is important. And we've made major strides in that. We need to be sure part of this department was created to get better frontline protection, but maybe take some of the redundancies out of it. So we're doing a lot with sort of how do we integrate our infrastructure, you know, sort of do we have the right sort of infrastructure, and can we take some of the redundancies out of there? What's the right structure? How do we do that? We also have to look at our sort of back office functions, new financial management system. We will obviously need a new HR system to implement the kind of system that I think we will ultimately develop. But we also have to be sure we're integrating the mission focus. So we've got sort of how do we have our Border Patrol three separate legacy IT systems talking to each other, and then what do we do with our external partners, particularly in the intelligence world, talking to FBI and CIA and all the other of the myriad of the initials, the agencies that are so critical to us. So we sort of look at it as sort of the infrastructure, our administrative systems, and then our mission critical, trying to establish those priorities, get dedicated teams of men and women to implement it once we've got strong business requirements from those frontline managers and agency heads.
And as you look at this, how are your budget priorities then linked overall to the president's management agenda?
A couple things we have. One, we are in the process of completing our strategic plan, which is usually the first step as you get the strategic plan. What we are also completing is trying to sort of get what are the measures of effectiveness, not just a budget number. You know, it's sort of easy and federal government sort of says, I need 10% more. Well, why and what are the outcomes that we're going to get from that? So struggling, that has not happened often in law enforcement environment. And so trying to be sure that we can drive forward with that. So we're looking first at sort of completing our strategic plan, being sure that we can measure the outcomes of those dollars that we had have actually asked for. We are so fortunate, and I thank Congress every day, that we are the only appropriations bill that has been signed. We had one October 1st, so we do not need to deal with a continuing resolution. We have new money to make a difference in sort of Homeland Security. And so now we're about the business of sort of dealing with the operational plans and then starting FY05.
So. Mm-hmm. And what about financial management? What plans do you have to improve financial management according to the president's management agenda?
Two things. We are trying to complete our current financial management, you know, our audit, and we're in the midst of that. We're going to do it faster. You know, OMB has got a target of getting it done. We are trying to accelerate that so that we set up the system, set up this department, getting it done by November, December, and we're very excited about being able to do that. Lots of dedicated people on our financial, both in my own office and in the components, driving with our inspector general and our outside auditors. So we're really excited about sort of being able to set this up right the first time rather than having to make changes as we go along. We are currently looking at integration of our financial management systems across the department. We've got a great project manager that we have hired, and we are starting the business of getting a financial system that will actually integrate the department, get us the business information we need to make business decisions, not just give us accounting data or budget data.
I was going to ask you, what does a clean opinion mean in an organization that's so new?
That's an interesting question. I actually asked that at the beginning. Two things. It's terribly important, I think, for us to have a baseline. So what you have is different standards of different departments with different auditors that had looked at this in the past. So we now have got common department, common agencies, and we have a baseline of which we can sort of say, okay, we've now got, we understand sort of 6 months into this. The interesting part of this is that the agencies that came from Treasury, Justice, or Transportation, they got to be audited by their donating department as well as their receiving department. And that is because of the nature of sort of saying what happened in this fiscal year. But we think it's terribly important to have established that discipline, have that information so that we then can move forward in dealing with if we have any material weaknesses, getting that established priority. Where do we put our resources? Where are our problems as we are trying to set up? Not that I think we'll have any, but, you know, again, always optimistic. But we are in the process right now of doing the audit with our outside auditors and our inspector general, and terribly important, again, to have that baseline information as we move forward.
The last area of the president's management agenda that we haven't covered is competitive sourcing. Could you tell us about the department's plans in the area of competitive sourcing?
Sure. We have completed our inventory. We are establishing the infrastructure to deal with this. We actually have one sourcing initiative underway in the Bureau of Citizens and Immigration Services. And again, find that this is an important priority as a management tool as we move forward to integrate the department.
But how about dealing with the sort of inherently governmental decision that people have to make when they go through competitive sourcing? One might think this is a very important governmental function, and therefore it might not even be relevant or...
But again, with any of, there are processes that are not internally governmental functions. We are not ever going to sort of go out and go through a competitive sourcing for something that is inherently in the intelligence world and sort of making the final decisions on what immigration person comes in, what immigrant comes into this country. We will retain and feel very strongly about the inherently governmental because we can't compromise security in this regard. But we can look at, are there processes and are there sets of employees that we need to look at just to be sure that, in fact, we've got the most streamlined processes. And I think that's one of the tools that we will use.
Interesting point. The mission of DHS is clear, as it says in its name, yet it's often said that Homeland Security is everyone's job. How does DHS coordinate all of those involved in this important issue? We'll ask Janet Hale of the Department of Homeland Security when the Business of Government Hour returns.